This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's Friday, December 28th, 2018. You've made it through the end of a short holiday week. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us in the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Miriam Sobe. Cloudy, windy, and cold this afternoon with some flurries possible. Temperatures steady or slowly falling. Right now it's 31 degrees at O'Hare, 32 at Midway, 33 at the lakefront.
And the Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Well, after a week of a roller coaster ride with the markets, things are relatively calm as it goes. Let's get the latest now from Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
Rob, that's right. We're certainly hugging the flat line here. No big moves like we've seen in the previous days. The Dow down 32 points at 23,107. NASDAQ up 0.3%. S&P is down a fraction. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index now sliding 0.3%. Crude oil futures are moving higher, up almost 2% after the Energy Information Administration said crude stockpiles fell last week, but by much less than forecast. So crude futures are trading now at $45.38. Higher prices and mortgage rates have many of us thinking twice about buying a home. The National Association of Realtors says pending home sales unexpectedly fell last month for a second straight month. Back to you, Rob and Miriam.
And coming up on the Noon Business Hour today, we'll be talking about the strengths of the economy for 2019. What can we look forward to? That's with Bob Ruska, Chief Economist, Fact and Opinion Economics out of New York. Plus, flying on your own private jet instead of taking commercial airlines. We'll speak with Steve Wasco, an entrepreneur, in our Entrepreneur Friday segment out of Air Chicago.
Well, the twists and turns of the market this week, from the massive sell-off on Christmas Eve to the considerable gains of the last 2 days, really are pitting the bull versus bear market people against each other. Well, we'll bring in our resident contrarian to see if your spin is right or wrong, or if you should consider the mysterious third option. All that and more coming up at the Noon Business Hour right here on WBBM.
The best daily deal in Chicago, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
There's been a year-end slowdown in Chicago area home sales. We'll cover that in our next segment. Right now, a reading on the economy in the Chicago region is out today, along with the latest numbers on pending home sales. Joining us on the International Auto's Orland Park business line is Bob Ruska, Chief Economist, Fact and Opinion Economics out of New York. Bob, tell us, what do these numbers mean for Chicago?
Well, it's a pretty decent report. The index fell to 65.4 from 66.4. If you look at it historically, the index is higher less than 10% of the time. So this is an elevated reading with pretty solid readings across the board. The employment component is only sort of a midstream reading, not quite as strong as the rest of the report, but order backlogs are still high. And interestingly, you know, the inflation numbers are still very well contained in this report. So it's a microcosm of what we see going on in the economy. Still pretty good growth, still no inflation. And while the job market creates a lot of jobs, it's really not creating that many great jobs.
Well, speaking about all of that, let's talk about strengths for the economy in 2019. Is there anything we can look forward to?
Well, what we're looking forward to, unfortunately, is a slowing. You know, we had this was the year when we had all the stimulus. We had hurricanes at the end of last year that created a surge of spending that helped to boost the economy early in the year when people replaced all those cars that had been destroyed in the hurricanes. And then we had fiscal stimulus from the Trump tax cut plan, and that boosted the economy. And there will be just a little bit of that still going on this year. But basically, as the year goes on in 2019, you look for less of that. We've got a global economy that's already slowing down, although we have a Fed that looks like it may have done most of its interest rate work, and so interest rates look like they're leveling off here.
Let's talk about the economy in the Chicago area, because there seems to be a disconnect, and you encounter that, or at least I've encountered that over the past couple of weeks, between the twists and turns of the stock market, which is very volatile, versus the rest of the economy, business conditions, employment, just the regular day-to-day experience of working in the world of free market commerce. Where are some of the real strengths in the economy in the Chicago area? And is there any way that the volatility in the stock market that could creep into those real-world conditions?
Well, you know, the strength for the economy basically is this firmness in the job market, the continued growth, the fact that there's a lot of jobs out there for people who want to work, but there aren't a lot of really great jobs out there, not a lot of high-paying jobs. People are not getting wage increases. So you're not getting that kind of a bounce in the job market. But having said that, there are jobs, people are working, and that provides incomes, that provides a good, you know, good base of solidity and strength for the economy. The Federal Reserve will stop raising interest rates. That's a good thing. But the unsettled nature of the stock market could help to unwind these things. We also have, you know, various trade pressures that are going on, and we could wind up in a trade war with China, and that could create some more negative disturbances that could cause higher tariffs to be put on imports, and that could create a little bit more inflation or just so much higher product prices that we don't want to buy things anymore. So I think we have a lot of risks as we look ahead to next year, although we do have a base of good strength for the economy. It's balanced in that sense. The economy will not accelerate. The question is, how fast will it decelerate?
It's been a couple of months since we've been talking about upward wage pressure when you talk about the employment reports or the, you know, unemployment rate or the number of new jobs created in a given month. Why haven't we really seen wages shoot up as they would in any other cycle in which in which unemployment is low and there's a lot of available jobs and people can move around?
Well, I think the main reason is that economists have taught you badly. People shouldn't be expecting that to happen. People have been taught this model of the Phillips curve, and they think that when the unemployment rate gets low, the wage rate goes up. But if the Fed is doing a good job, and if inflation is stable, and if inflation expectations are stable, you know, firms only have the desire to pay you the value of what you do, what we call the value of your marginal product. And it doesn't matter if the unemployment rate falls from 5 to 4 to 3 to 2%, you're only worth what you can do. And so even if the job market gets tight, firms have no incentive whatsoever to pay more for workers who aren't worth that amount of money. So I think what we're seeing is basically a pretty flat wage structure where people can be hired at the existing wage rate, but you don't get that much more pressure. You're getting some pressure because minimum wage is going up. And that's not the job market, that's the government doing that.
So here's a question. What happens when the economy begins to decelerate and the people who didn't experience a major wage bump during this unprecedented era of expansion, what happens to those workers? And then also, like, what happens to the gig economy, too? You know, for people who have been trying to supplement their income with driving for Uber or for Lyft.
Well, as activity goes down, the demand for labor will go down, and there will be less employment for everybody. And people who have been, you know, living in this kind of patchwork job market, having a little bit here and a little bit there, the so-called gig economy, will find it turns into a little bit more of a gag economy.
Well, thank you very much for the insights, as always. Bob Bruska, Chief Economist, Fact and Opinion Economics, based in New York. Coming up, a look at the Chicago home real estate market and mortgage trends for the coming year.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Home sales action in the Chicago area slowed as the year has been winding down. Let's find out why and preview the coming year with Brian Wickert, president and owner of Accudent Mortgage, based in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Brian, long time no talk.
Yeah, it's good to be back. How are you?
Doing very well. Let's talk about the state of the real estate market, not only nationwide, but in the upper Midwest, because The real estate market was red hot. That was kind of the story of the first half of the year. And then things began to slow down as summer turned into fall. And the initial analysis was that there was just simply not enough housing stock available. You can only build so many houses. You only had so much land, and it just couldn't keep up with demand. Is that still the case, or was that ever the case?
Well, it is the case, but one thing I want to point out for sure is that all real estate is local. So not only is Springfield a lot different than Chicago, but, you know, if you look at the $200,000 to $250,000 price range, let's say in Elgin, well, that's different than the $500,000 and up range in the same city, and you know, quite different from the $800,000 to $900,000 row homes in the heart of Chicago. So you got to keep in mind that as we talk about, you know, either national trends or regional trends or even Chicago, we're really lumping together a lot of submarkets. But with that in mind, I would say that more affordable price ranges will continue to do very well simply because there are more home shoppers in that price range. And in fact, I got a surprise for you. The University of Illinois, the Regional Economics Applications Laboratory, is predicting that home sales, not only in Chicago, but throughout the state of Illinois, are going to be up quite nicely in 2019.
And that's just simply as people are, like you said, going to the more affordable areas to buy. The other thought occurred to me as I was up in your neck of the woods yesterday, driving north and south in I-94 as they're expanding the highway, that over time, you know, the Chicago Milwaukee region could eventually turn into just one great big city, especially now that you have Foxconn coming in Racine County. Over time, are you going to see more people who may, you know, possibly live in Chicago but live in Wisconsin and just drive in every day because it's a lot easier and more convenient?
Sure. Or how's about this? I have a company that has 35 employees. But I'm telling you that right now I've only got about half of those people in the office, not because of vacation, but because of the ability to work from home. That's another trend that I think will allow people to live where they want to live. By the way, you've already got Kenosha as part of the Chicago metropolitan area. So, you know, that's another trend. Overall, we do have a lack of affordable houses throughout the country, and certainly in Chicago, Illinois, and Wisconsin. And you know, that's a problem. The builders, you know, if you're a builder and you've got limited labor, what would you rather build, an $800,000 home or a $250,000 home? The builders want to build the more expensive homes. So until that, you know, market dries up, and I got to tell you, the higher-priced homes are moving slower and have longer marketing times simply because there are fewer buyers. One other really important thing that is, I think, is important to say right now is that interest rates are down. You know, the trend in the fall was up, 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 and the 30-year fixed rate was tickling 5%. Right now, as we speak today, for somebody buying the median price home in Chicago, which is $232,000 with 10% down, you're going to be shocked to know we can offer a 4.5% 30-year fixed rate with no points. And that's with 10% down and good credit. That's down quite a bit from where it was just a month ago. And Fannie Mae is out with their latest forecast for 2019, and they've got a whole army of economists. They're predicting the 30-year fixed rate is going to hold steady throughout the year at about 4.8%. So you can forget about this line of thinking that you've heard in a lot of the news lately that, oh, interest rates are up and it's really going to affect housing. That appears to be a bunch of bunk, and the University of Illinois agrees. Home prices are going to go up about 4% next year, according to their forecast, and prices are going to go up about $7,500 statewide, and in Chicago about $9,000. Which is about a 4% increase over 2018.
Thank you so much, Brian Wickert, president and owner of AccuNet Mortgage out of Waukesha, Wisconsin. Still ahead in Entrepreneur Friday, an update on a suburban-based private jet company that launched in September. WBBM News Time, 1225.
And let's get the latest on the markets from Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
Rob, since the top of the hour, we've switched from small gains to small losses now. The Dow down 68 points or 0.25% at 23,073. NASDAQ lower by 2, S&P off 3. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg down about 0.5%. Coming in just under the deadline imposed by securities regulators, Tesla has added the founder of Oracle, Larry Ellison, and the HR executive from Walgreens, Kathleen Wilson-Thompson, to the Tesla board, there to bribe the company's founder, Elon Musk, with more oversight. That comes after Musk claimed in August to have had the funding and investor support for a buyout. Musk relinquished the role of chair in November, and both he and the company agreed to pay $20 million in penalties. Crude oil futures are higher today, up about 1.5% to $45.32 a barrel. Now let's turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We've had higher prices in the grains. Corn's been unchanged, up 3 at the moment. March up 1.5 at 376. New crop December up 2 at 398 and a quarter. Beans have been up a penny to up 17. We have March up 16 at 898 and a half. New crop November's up 13 and a half at 938 and three quarters. And wheat's been down 1 to up 3 at the moment. July wheat up 1.5 at 527 and a quarter. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. Just want to mention on the Tesla share price, it is up more than 4.5% in the wake of that board announcement near $331. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Miriam Soap. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks have fallen back into the red slightly. We'll see what's moving the markets and check in with a longtime Wall Street watcher who takes a contrarian view.
In Entrepreneur Friday, we check in with the head of a recently launched private jet service that's based in the northwest suburbs.
Former Aurora Mayor Tom Weisner has died after a battle with cancer.
And Democrats are holding firm in the standoff over a border wall, which has resulted in a partial government shutdown.
WBBM Business, the markets are slightly in the red right now. The Dow is down 82 points. The NASDAQ is down 4. The S&P 500 down 4.5.
AccuWeather forecast, cloudy, windy, and cold with flurries this afternoon. Temperatures steady or falling, 33 degrees right now at the lakefront at 1231.
Well, the markets are slumping slightly on this final day of the trading week, and we're joined on the International Autos Orland Park business line by Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management and Fox News business contributor based in Orlando. Gary, welcome back to the program. And it's kind of appropriate today, Gary, at the end of this week, that you're speaking to us from Orlando. Home of so many theme parks and so many roller coasters that go up and down and take all sorts of unpredictable twists and turns, because that's what this week has been all about.
Well, and may I say the theme parks are doing very, very well here as the places are packed. I just had to throw that out to you. Look, all I think that happened this week is the Dow in just 14 trading days dropped 4,268 points. And at that point, everybody got bearish. Everybody was depressed. Everybody wanted to get out, and that's when usually markets get counter-trend rallies to that. And I think that's all you saw this week, and I think you still have to be very, very careful, as I do not think the big picture or the major trend has changed, and that is to the downside.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Can you extrapolate the uncertainty on Wall Street that's been going on practically all year since that first big sell-off in February? Can you really extrapolate that to the economy writ large, or is this simply confined to the financial markets and it will stay there?
Oh, I think it's the economy. All foreign markets topped out in February. We just heard Germany contracted last quarter. Germany is the engine of Europe. If they're in trouble, probably the rest of Europe's in trouble. Japan topped out back then also. They just announced contraction. China, every month their numbers are heading more and more south. And our earnings expectation as well as our GDP expectation has been coming down. Now, we are the best of all the countries around the globe as far as growth. I don't expect we're going to contract, but leave no doubt we're in slowdown mode here, and I think that's part of what the process is.
Gary, some reports saying that really what we need to focus on with Wall Street is what's going to happen 2 weeks from now with earnings season.
I think earnings are going to be okay, but that's looking backwards. My question is, what are earnings going to look like going forward? And you have a slowdown. And when you peak out, P-E-A-K, on earnings and the economy, the markets usually take a haircut to a certain extent. And unfortunately, I think part of all this, there's just a ton of leverage again in the system, a ton of margin that's borrowed money to buy stocks, as well as, you remember back in 08, all the alphabet soup of CMOs, CDOs. There's a lot of that derivative stuff out there also. And that's why you're seeing some of the moves accentuated at this point in time.
Are there certain sectors right now that are doing really well with the up and down that's going on?
I must tell you, the only things that were holding up best, the market finally got, and that was the defensive areas. There are a few names here and there that act well, but nothing as a group that's really sizzling at this point in time. And for me, I have my feet up. I'm being patient, knowing that bearish markets always end, and I'll see what shows the best relative strength as we come out of it. And I will promise you, it's the companies that are growing the fastest and doing the best, not the value name. So I'm always going to be looking for what companies are growing 30, 40, 50% on earnings, 10, 20, 30% on revenues. They'll always shine when the time comes.
Is 2019, will that be the year of the trade war? Or can you say that was 2018, we'll move on to something else next year?
All evidence in, we still have a war with China. I've seen nothing to change that stance. I think China cares to a certain extent, but they don't have elections. They don't have to worry. And I think they see a weakened president who lost the House as well as investigations. So if you notice, they're just biding their time, doing a little bit piecemeal things like here's a few tariffs we'll get rid of. But I don't see anything coming to fruition at this point in time. That's something that's going to be worried about, because I can tell you G20 countries right now have about $480 billion of tariffs out there, and I can promise you it's affecting things.
What's interesting is over the course of the last 2 years is the degree to which day-to-day events have caused large swings in the financial markets, and that the markets have not either priced in or gotten used to the fact that a lot of news, sometimes unpredictable, comes out of this White House, and they haven't just figured out how to shrug it off and move on.
Well, let me put it best. There's too much talk and too many tweets. You know, markets should be left alone. I think there's too much talk of the market by the president, by the Treasury Secretary, by his economic advisors. You know, I was not a big fan of Obama's economic policies, but I never heard no hide nor hear from him on markets. And what the president of the United States says matters. And when you are saying one thing on Monday and maybe switching up a little bit by Friday, that's when markets get a little bit twisted. So I am in hopes they recognize that some of the things that have come out have hurt the markets, and I've started to see them back away just a little bit over the last few days, and hopefully that goes into 2019.
Thank you so much. That's Gary Kaltbaum, President, Kaltbaum Capital Management, and Fox News business contributor out of Orlando, Florida. His website is GaryK.com. Up next, in Entrepreneur Friday, the president of a private jet company that's taken wing from the Northwest suburbs.
Discussing the news affecting your money, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday. This afternoon, we're getting an update from Steve Wasko, President and Chief Operating Officer of Air Chicago Operations, based out of Chicago Executive Airport in Wheeling, Illinois. Steve Wasko, tell us a little bit about this program that you have to get people away from flying commercial and flying private.
Well, thank you very much, Miriam, for having us. Our mission is to bring the comforts and especially the time efficiencies of private jet travel to our target customer, which is the frequent business traveler. And we launched our service in September to our first business destination, which is New York City. And we're currently building our frequency and regularity of those flights.
I've seen some of these companies pop up in my Instagram feed. Tell me a little bit about how this would be different for a business traveler that's used to flying commercial. What would compel them to take a private jet?
Well, my experience is a good example. I was able to leave my home in Hinsdale at about 6:30 one morning last month. drive to Chicago Executive Airport in Wheeling, and I was in Midtown Manhattan by 11:15 New York time. So the it would be impossible to do that through either O'Hare or Midway. So the efficiencies of time that we can offer to our customers is substantial, and that to me is the single biggest value that we are bringing to the traveling public.
Well, the big marketing push, at least you can hear him on our air and probably elsewhere, is that you're able to enlist Mike Ditka to be a part of your advertising campaign. Has the coach gotten people into the seats at Air Chicago?
Oh, he absolutely has. Coach Dick has been an absolute joy to work with, and we actually arranged what we call our jetaway package with Coach Ditka and his wife, and flew a group of people down to Naples, Florida. Now, we do arrange those packages for people on occasion, but we really are focusing on the business traveler, and Coach Ditka has raised awareness of what we can offer, so he has definitely helped us add members.
Has this particular service, Air Chicago or its equivalents, I'm thinking NetJets, the type of business travel that does get you into a smaller private aircraft, how is this a growing segment, and is it really starting to take at least a small bite out of the road warrior who may have, you know, maybe a million miler on United and automatically has that first class seat when they get to O'Hare?
Yes, it really is a growing segment, and I was just seeing a report that next year is supposed to be the busiest year ever for air travel, and especially the million-mile road warrior is looking for an alternate way to avoid all the crowds, because although traveling is increasing, the infrastructure of commercial airlines is not growing. So they really need a better alternative than to spend hours in the large airports. And so we are seeing significant growth. And we really have a mission of really making the travel on private jets much more affordable than something like a NetJet. So we think we're going to be very successful in that growing segment.
And how's the relationship with Chicago Executive Airport in Wheeling?
The people at Chicago Executive could not be more supportive. We've held a number of meetings and briefings for our prospective members there, and they've always rolled out, well, we've got a blue carpet, not the red carpet, but we've been able to really count on their support, and they've been great.
And what is sort of the cost comparison between being a Jet Card member versus a business class or first class member?
Well, our mission and really what is most exciting about our business model from my standpoint, and I've built a number of companies over the past 25 years here in Chicago, is that we are going to be able to offer our flights by the seat for a price approximating commercial first class. So that's something that you really can't find in any other private jet or charter offering. So we really think we've got a secret sauce that lets us price it right along with commercial airline fares.
Well, Steve, thank you very much for checking in. Steve Wasko, President and Chief Operating Officer of Air Chicago. Their operations are based out of Chicago Executive Airport in Wheeling. You may call it Pelwaukee. The website is flyairchicago.com. Still to come, we'll take the contrarian view of the markets. That's on the way.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
2018 rapidly coming to a close. Let's take a look at the year in the markets and what may lie ahead for 2019 with Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com, based in Washington. Mark, welcome back to the program. If you wanted to create a narrative on Monday, Christmas Eve, it seemed really easy to do so. And then you had December 26th, then you have the turnaround December 27th. With such wild fluctuations in the market this week, how can you come up with A, a narrative on the markets, and B, a counter narrative to that narrative?
Oh, well, that's a great lead up to a question there. I would say that the narrative that makes sense for this week for me is that the market typically does the opposite of what most people think it will do. So Christmas Eve, as you say, it was a terrible day for the market. And everyone expected a continuation on Wednesday. Guess what? The market turned around, had its best one-day point gain in history. Then the market turned down big time on Thursday morning. And then by the end of the day, had a great, you know, end-of-day rally, ended up quite a bit, had an 800-point intraday swing. This is consistent with the sentiment studies that we do. We carefully track the sentiment among about 100 different stock market timers. And we saw that they were as bearish as they've been almost at any point over the last 20 years on Christmas Eve. And the interesting thing is they remain almost as bearish today as they were then. So going into next week, I'd say the at least from the sentiment foundation point of view, we'd have to suggest that the sentiment winds are blowing in the direction of continually higher prices next week.
So what if you're trying? First of all, let's talk about market timers, because the sheer volume of trades that are simply automated is pretty staggering when you think about it. It's not just guys yelling in a pit anymore. It's just a lot of computers making these transactions, and that is, you know, trading on Wall Street today. So how many people are out there who are actual market timers who are trying to find the right time to jump in or possibly pull out?
Well, I mean, each one of them has their own his or own technique, so it's not like it's easy to generalize on what they're looking at. But we shouldn't overestimate the impact of the computer trading, because the computers are looking at the same things that human beings do. That they can do it more quickly, and they can do it in a more objective fashion. But nonetheless, they are looking at some of the same indications of what the sentiment is among market participants. The one thing I will say, though, is the computers tend to be more of a trend-following force in the market rather than a contrarian force. And what I mean by that is that if the market's down, they're more likely to bet the market will continue going down, whereas a contrarian does just the opposite when you reach an extreme. And so in that sense, perhaps the computers have exacerbated the extremes, the sentiment extremes we've seen, which actually creates an opportunity for somebody who has the courage to do the opposite of the consensus to actually do better than before.
Now, Mark, going into 2019, we've heard mixed opinions this week on the program. Some people saying we could be heading into a recession, others saying we are not sure. What's the contrarian take?
Well, it's interesting. First of all, no one knows. I mean, we should always preface every answer, especially me, that no one really knows what's going to happen. It is the case that the stock market typically turns down well before the economy does. So if you wait to find out whether you're in a recession, it's too late. Usually, I think it's an average of about 5 to 7 months in advance that the stock market will begin a major decline from when the economy does. And that's to be expected. The stock market anticipates what's coming down the pike. It's a discounting mechanism, as economists might say. So I think looking to the economy for insight into what the stock market is doing is putting the cart before the horse. So it's not really going to help us very much. I will say also that there have been predictions of a recession almost every quarter for the last decade. So eventually they'll be right. But again, it's an indication that I don't really put more credence on it now than I would have at any point in the last several years.
Thank you so much. That's Mark Hulbert. Always a pleasure to have you on the program. Investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com, Washington, D.C. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Now WBBM Business from Bloomberg, and here's Elisa Parenti.
Well, we've gone from small losses to small gains and back and forth again. Now the Dow is up 11 points today at 23,153. NASDAQ gaining 17 points or 0.25%. S&P up 5. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg lower by about 0.25%. And we're still looking at 9 to 10% losses for the main averages for the month of December. And those benchmarks are poised to finish the year in the red as well. Traders have changed their forecast for Fed policy for next year. Most are nixing the idea of any interest rate hikes in 2019. Many expect there could be an interest rate cut in 2020. The government shutdown is expected to continue for a while. That's the view offered by White House Budget Director Mick Mulvaney. He says talks may resume on January 3rd when Democrats take control of the House. And the euro is turning 20. Bloomberg reports that in its first two decades, It's made the EU a global force to be reckoned with. The euro area economy has grown by 72% to more than 11 trillion euros, nearly $13 trillion. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.